Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, I don't know if you're familiar with the Calvin and Hobbes comic strips, but in one of them, Calvin is speaking to Hobbes, and he says, you know, living for the moment is my motto. You never know how long you got. In the second frame, he explains, you could step into the road tomorrow and wham, you get hit by a concrete truck. Then you'd be sorry you put off your pleasures. That's what I say, live for the moment. And then he asked Hobbes, what's your motto? Hobbes replied, my motto is look down the road. Today we begin the season of Advent, as you kind of let that sink in. And the season of Advent is always about looking down the road. In fact, today our first candle was lit on the Advent wreath, symbolizing that whole idea of hope. For the people of Israel, scattered throughout the Old Testament, it was always that gracious and glorious anticipation and expectation of promises being fulfilled with the birth of a Messiah, a Savior, a Deliverer. But looking forward to the future wasn't only about the Old Testament. It's also a reminder that the prophecies that God has made throughout the Old Testament about the birth of the coming of a Savior by the name of Jesus. But today within the church, we know that Jesus has already been born. You know, alert, Jesus Christ is born. Within the church, we're waiting for His second coming in glory and honor to return us to the garden with Him of peace and forgiveness and life. With all these promises about Jesus' birth and what will happen when He returns, there's a lot of joy about that reunion that is yet to come. But have you ever noticed that there are some people that are just like by nature pessimistic? It seems like they can't see the good in anything. And then on the other hand, there are those that are very optimistic. And to illustrate this, I'm going to tell you a story about a shoe company that sent a couple sales representatives away to a foreign land. And when they got there, the emails poured in from the two salespeople to the headquarters. One said this, get me out of here. No one wears shoes. The other one responded, send me more inventory. Everybody needs shoes. Optimistic or pessimistic as we look towards the future. Now there are some people that would look at a rose bush and only see the thorns. Whereas other people see the joy of the roses that are there within. Some people look at the clouds and only see storm clouds and trouble on the horizon. Where other people stand back and can see the silver lining in every cloud, no matter how dark it is. But genuine hope can never be based on our own subjectivity or our own outlook or our own particular temperament. For if your hope is based upon your feelings, then your hope has no basis. Your hope is empty. The only true hope is found in Christ and in Him alone. If you think about it for a moment, Christianity is religion of hope. Why are we here? Because we are people of hope. Christianity has always been a faith that looks down the road ahead to the future for the time when God's promises will be fulfilled. That's exactly true for the people of the Old Testament as they look forward to the birth of that promised Messiah. But it's also true for Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis because God had made them that great promise, I will create enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman and you will crush his head and he will bruise your heel. They knew that a promised Messiah was coming and they were excited and they were filled with great expectation. So much to the point when Eve gave birth to her first son, her words in Hebrew are translated, I have given birth to the man. Not a man, but the man, the Messiah. But the promise would not be fulfilled until generations later. Until Joseph and Mary would stand over the crib of their newly born child, understanding that he's the fulfillment of God's promises. The Savior, the Messiah is here now to deliver his people. And it's also true for us today. We look forward to Christ, no longer wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, but we look forward to Christ returning in all of his glory to bring the suffering and death of the world in which we live in to an end, so that we can be uplifted in him forever and ever in his presence. Certainly Christianity is a religion of hope. Now, I could simply say amen right now, because that's kind of the gist of the sermon. I mean, it's Christianity's about hope, and we hope in Jesus. Go ahead and pass the collection plates. I'll get you out of here early. You can beat the Baptist to the buffet at wherever you're headed. But there's only one problem. Hope is not automatic. Have you ever noticed that? Hope is just not simply automatic. For example, sometimes we have hope, we have a difficult time coming up with hope during difficult times. And I'm going to give you the Cornhusker football team this year, for example. Why is it that you're so optimistic and hopeful about a team that was 4-8? That's pathetic. In this conference, we should not have been 4-8. We should have done much better, but you're optimistic about next year. You're looking down the road to a new season and a new opportunity, and Martinez with just a little more experience and a healthy Spielman. Well, dear friends in Christ, I've drank the Kool-Aid. I am looking forward to next year like never before. Or better yet, how do you sustain hope in the midst of disappointment and the difficulties of life? How do you sustain it? Or how do you keep from being completely overwhelmed in the midst of pain and sorrow, suffering, and even death? How do you keep from becoming overwhelmed and your hope being crushed? Or how do you maintain an attitude of hope when everything seems to crush you like a bug on the windshield of life? Why is it and how is it that you can remain so hopeful? Well, the truth is, we've all faced situations in our life that seem, well, a little bit over the top when it comes to hope. There's times in our life within our jobs or within our marriages or within our health situation or within our family relationships or you add the whatever in life, it seems like as our hope kind of trickles to an end and it's like it's kind of cut off. There's sometimes we face what seems to be overwhelming issues in life when it comes to finances and medicines and the problems that we face day to day in life. It seems like things are completely and utterly hopeless. I don't know everyone's situation in life right now in this room, but I'm quite sincere to say that all of us struggle with things that seem hopeless even today. There's challenges that we face, and the question is how do I maintain my hope in Christ in the midst of this? My answer is, first of all, put your hope in God. Trust in Him for help. Have you ever noticed when you have issues in your marriage or a family relationship or whatever, what's one of the first things we do? I either go to Amazon and start looking at the self-help books, or I listen to Oprah or Dr. Phil, or I'll just go down and get a self-help book at the Christian library, whatever it takes, or I'll ask opinions of other people. I'll keep turning all these sources to reinstill my hope instead of turning to the one person who can provide all the hope I'll ever need. It's our Heavenly Father. Am I the only one that does that? There's times when we get to the point where it's like, I want to create my own hope. I surely can reestablish that foundation on which I stand. But the reality, we kind of have it all backwards. We spend all of our time looking outside at anything or everyone that can help instead of turning to the one thing that's helpful. Our faith in Jesus Christ. See, God's the one that we should trust in first. Him above all things. I believe the Bible expresses one thing that we need to hear clearly over and over and over again. And I'm going to repeat it for you. We can hope in the midst of life's circumstances because the one that we hope in is greater than the sum of life's circumstances. I'll repeat it. We can hope in the midst of life's circumstances because the one that we hope in is greater than the sum of life's circumstances. If our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, we have a foundation upon which we can stand in the face of all the challenges and the struggles of the world in which you and I live. We have a hope in someone who is able to provide comfort and aid even in the midst of things we can't possibly begin to understand. See, the reality is that we love to sing these Advent hymns, and one of my favorites is, O Come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us, and it's a reminder that 2,000 years ago, God sent Emmanuel, wrapped in human flesh, to be in the midst of His people in the flesh and blood. In the same way that God continues to send His Son into our presence even today, through His flesh and blood, to provide comfort and aid during our times of trouble. We have a God who loves us so much that He came. A God that loves us so much that He sent forth His Son, Jesus Christ, to be wrapped in human flesh and be placed in a manger filled with straw for you and for me. But do you realize there's 400 years between the last words recorded in the Old Testament book of Malachi and before the New Testament Matthew book shows up on the scene? 400 years of God literally being silent. In the Old Testament, God would show up in burning bushes and flames of clouds and flames and all this cool stuff. But then there was nothing for the longest time. And that 400 years of silence would create a lot of hopelessness. Does God still exist? Is God still out there? Does God still care about me? But if you think about it, it's entirely appropriate that God broke His silence through the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ. If you think about it, children are the personification of hope. See, babies are just like pure potential. Their lives are all in the future. Everything is before them. And if you're like me, when my son and my children were born, you look at them and you have all this joy because they can be anything they want to be. The sky's the limit. We are filled with hope as it comes to them. Anything is possible. But the hope of the world came wrapped in swaddling clothes and was placed in a manger in Bethlehem. But you see, the reality is Mary had even more than the usual maternal pride in to justify having such great hope as she looked upon her son, because she had heard the words of the angel Gabriel, who said to her, "You will be with child and you will give birth to a son, and you are to give him his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. His kingdom will never end." It really echoes the prophecy of Isaiah, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The same kind of idea that all this potential, all this joy is wrapped up in Him. In other words, Jesus Christ was born of God. And it was made clear that this baby was the one to which the world would cling to as its Messiah and Savior. What hope Mary had as she looked upon the face of Jesus Christ, knowing deep down that wrapped in those swaddling clothes was her Savior. What great hope it has for you and I, knowing that God loves us enough that He would send His own Son into a sin-filled world to redeem sinners like you and me. What great hope it provides for us to know that the forgiveness of sins has been won by Jesus Christ dying upon the cross of Calvary in our place. What great hope in knowing that He was the one to whom we could find hope and lasting peace. You know, preparing for today, I came across that in the New Testament, it translates two different words in Greek into the word hope. And the first one is a hope that has to do with trust, and usually trust in a person. Whereas the other one in the New Testament is a hope that's expectation or an anticipation. And let me give you an example. Now, I'm sure you've all watched the movie A Christmas Story, right? With Ralphie Parker, I believe, And he had this hope that his mom and dad would remember the one gift that he really, really wanted. And he wanted, and I'll quote, a Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle. He was excited that under the tree that toy would be there. Mom and dad would remember, but he wasn't sure whether they'd get it or not. He was hopeful, but unless he looked in packages when mom and dad weren't there, he had no idea. That's one kind of hope. The other kind of hope is completely different. It's the kind of hope that little Ralphie knew that on Christmas morning there was going to be a tree and there's going to be all these gifts underneath of it. And some of them would be his, that his mom and dad gave specifically to him. And if little Frankie or Ralphie was like you or me when I was growing up, I was so excited about Christmas morning because my mom and dad tortured us by making us wait to Christmas morning to open gifts. So we returned the favor about 4:30 in the morning. We'd wake them up to make sure that they were aware of the fact that it's torture to wait until 6 or 7 or whatever. But Frankie, his joy was, I know that the gifts are there, and I bet he had a hard time sleeping the night before. And that joyous anticipation that was based upon his hope that this tree would be there and these gifts would be there and all these things would be before him. This is the sort of hope that it speaks about in Scripture. It's a hope based upon the fact that God loves you. He loves you who you are right now. Regardless of where you've been, what you've done, He loves you for who you are. But it's also a hope that's based upon a firm conviction. And that conviction is that God cares for you. For God demonstrates His love for that when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God cares immensely for you. But it's also a hope based upon a final assurance, that assurance that God wants to be with you. My dear friends in Christ, we can't make it through life without hope. Now I'm told that you can make it 40 days without food. I've never tried it. I'm simply basing it upon science. It also says that we can make it through 8 days without water. Find that hard to believe, but maybe so. But it also says that you can make it about 4 minutes without air. But you cannot live without hope. Hope is the greatest asset that you have. So where is your hope today? Is your hope in that wrapped gift under the tree? Lost in the darkness of the surrounding life in which you live? What is your model in life? Is your model in life that you want to live for the moment? Or do you look down the road to Jesus, our living hope? Jesus is our living hope indeed. It is available to all. And it's this hope in Jesus Christ that assures us even in the circumstances of life that we don't understand, in times that it seems like everything is hopeless, God never gives up. To live with Christ is a living hope. And it's my hope that all of you will claim that living hope that God has made possible for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord.